All right, well, keep your Bibles open. The goal that I have for this week for us is that we would see Jesus clearly. And as we see him clearly, we will put our trust in him and listen to what he says. That's our goal for this week, to see Jesus clearly and then to listen to him and trust in him. And the question that I want to start asking this morning is, who are you listening to? As I said before, my wife and I had our second child 7 weeks ago, a little baby girl named Jemima. She's very cute, we're very proud parents. And I got to say, the second time round, I feel like we kind of know what we're doing. Now, first time round, we had no idea. We were faking it the whole time. We had no idea. But the second time round, I feel like we kind of know what we're doing. See, the first time round, the problem with not knowing what you're doing is that everybody, and I mean everybody, wanted to tell us how to raise our child, okay? Everybody had an opinion. Everybody was an expert. Whether you should breastfeed or whether you should use a bottle, what pram to get, what car seat to get, you know, how to get them to sleep. Everything, everybody wanted to tell us everything there is to know about how to raise a child. And we had no idea. We were just making it up as we went along. And the hard thing was, everyone was telling us all these different things and we didn't know who to listen to. When you're getting all these conflicting messages, who do you listen to? It was really hard. I remember this one time, Peter, my little boy, he was maybe only a few weeks old, and I took him in the pram to the shops. And as we went to the shops, there were these three lovely ladies sitting, old ladies sitting there, and they must have thought they were speaking quietly, but they were clearly quite deaf, because one of them screams out in a loud voice as I walk past, "Oh, he's got no socks on, he must be freezing, how terrible, what are they doing?" And, you know, I sort of, oh, no, just put my head down and kept going. And that was our life, just everybody giving us their opinion on how to raise our child. And it was really hard to know who to listen to. You know, even the professionals, the midwives, the nurses, the doctors, they all told us different things. Who do you listen to? This is often the problem that we have when it comes to God. See, everybody's got an opinion about God. And everyone wants to tell you something about God, even if it's just that God's not real and that you shouldn't care about him, that he doesn't exist. And it's hard to know who I should listen to when it comes to God. And see, this is a question that really matters, isn't it? Because who you listen to when it comes to God is going to shape your whole life. It's going to shape your priorities. It's going to shape your attitudes. It's going to shape your marriage, your work. It's going to shape how you treat other people. And you know, if you believe what the Bible says, it has eternal consequences. Who you listen to about God is going to determine whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. The stakes could not be higher when it comes to who we listen to about God. Now, we're here at SweatCon and we're here to be trained in evangelism and ministry. And what that means is that we're all here to be trained to tell other people about God. We want people to listen to us about God. And so the fundamental question we need to first ask is, who am I listening to? Who am I listening to when it comes to God? And what we're going to see this morning from these few verses that were read out is that God has spoken through his Son. And therefore, if you want to know God, you should listen to his Son, Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at. So let's get into it. The first thing that we see is that God has spoken through his Son. Have a look with me at Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. First thing we see is that God is a God who speaks. And this is really important. God reveals himself to us. He makes himself known. And what that means is that you don't need to try to work out who God is on your own. Now, I think that's what most people in the world do. They try to work out God on their own. So someone might look at a mountain or a beautiful sunset and think, wow, there must be a God. He must be amazing. He must be an artist. Look at that. But then another person looks at a little kid who's died and says, what kind of a God would let that happen? And then someone else looks around and says, well, I don't see God. Therefore, God, he mustn't exist. And the problem with all of these approaches is that they're trying to work out God on their own. They're blindly feeling around in the dark, trying to work out what God is like. But if God is a God who speaks, then we don't need to work out God on our own. All we need to do is listen. Imagine for a second that you went to the movies and you went to see Collateral Beauty, starring Will Smith. Now, first of all, I don't know why you went to see Collateral Beauty. Looks like a really boring movie to me, but you did. Okay, you bought your ticket, you're sitting there, it's too late to go see Star Wars, you're there. Now, you're in the cinemas, and if I asked you to watch the movie and then tell me everything you can about Will Smith the actor, do you think you could do it? I mean, what could you tell me? I guess you could tell me what he looks like. You could tell me he's a guy, you could tell me his name's Will Smith. You could maybe even tell me if he's a good actor or not. But other than that, there wouldn't be much you could tell me, is there? But now imagine that you went to the red carpet premiere of the movie and you sat next to Will Smith. And so you've got to pretend you like the movie now because you're right next to Will Smith. And you're sitting there, and after the movie, you get to go to the after party with Will Smith. And for some reason, he just downloads on you. You know, he just gives you this big, deep and meaningful, just shares his whole life with you. Now are you able to tell me about Will Smith? Yes. Why? Because you're not trying to work him out on your own anymore. No, he's spoken to you. He's made himself known to you. And friends, that's the same with God. We have a God who speaks. And that means we don't need to try to work him out on our own. We just need to listen to him. But there's a problem. And that is, how do we know who God speaks through? You know, we live here in the Southwest and we know that there are plenty of people and plenty of religions that claim to have the words of God. How do we know which one is right? How do we know who God speaks through? And we see in our passage that the writer of the Hebrews tells us that God has spoken through his Son. Have a look with me at the passage again. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. That's what we call the Old Testament. Okay, so in the past, God spoke to his people Israel, and he spoke to them through prophets. Okay, men of God that he raised up, gave them his message, and he went out to Israel to tell them all about God. And we're told here that God revealed himself, spoke at many times and in various ways. In other words, God didn't just drop the Old Testament down from heaven into the desert for Moses to pick up and start reading. No, God gradually, slowly, over time, revealed who he was to his people. So that gradually, over thousands of years, they got this picture of who God is, of what his plans are for the world, of how we should respond to him. And as the years went on, they got more and more of a picture of God. But we're told that now things are radically different. Have a look at verse 2. The first thing that's different is the time. We are now in the last days. Now, this was a phrase that was used by the prophets. And it was used to describe a time when God would really wrap up this world. He would finish with this world and judge the world, and he would usher in a new world, a world to come, a world that was a new creation where everything was right with the world again. And we're told that we are in the last days. That is, we are on the edge between the world as we know it and the world to come, when God will judge the earth and bring in a new creation. And so there is not a more important time in history to get right who to listen to God. And we're told that in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. Literally it says he's spoken to us through a Son. That is, there's a category difference now. God is no longer just speaking through a prophet, through the category of prophets. No, now he's speaking to us through the category of a Son. And that is radically different. He's no longer just gradually revealing himself by raising up a man of God and giving him something about himself to tell his people. No, now he is definitively, finally, and ultimately giving us the picture of who he is, of what his plans are for the world, and how we should respond to him by sending his Son. As I said before, I live in Bankstown, and in Bankstown we have the privilege of having lots of Muslim neighbors. And whenever I get into a conversation with someone who is a Muslim, I always try to ask them, well, who do you think Jesus is? It's a great way to start a conversation. Who do you think Jesus is? And I'm always told two things about Jesus. The first is that Jesus is just a prophet. The second thing is that Jesus is not the Son of God. And I don't know if you noticed it, but the writer to the Hebrews actually says the exact opposite. He is saying that Jesus is not just a prophet, he is the Son of God. And this isn't just about debating some finer theological point. This gets to the very heart of whether you are a Christian or whether you are a Muslim. Because if Jesus is just a prophet, just another prophet in that big category of prophets, then you listen to what he says, but it's no greater than what any other prophet has said. He's one of the prophets. And if a prophet were to come along later, a greater prophet, an ultimate prophet with the final word from God, well, then you'd listen to him. But if Jesus is the Son of God, that puts him in an entirely different category to that of prophets. And you need to listen to him above any other person who brings us the words of God. And so what do we see? We see that God is a God who speaks. He's a God who makes himself known. We don't need to try to work him out for ourselves. We just need to listen. And we've seen that God speaks through his Son. So if you want to know who God is, if you want to know what his plans are for your life, if you want to know how you should respond to him, you should listen to Jesus. Because he is the Son of God. And what our writer does, really for the rest of chapter 1, is he unpacks for us what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God. See, he tries to show us what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God, and by showing us that, he's encouraging us to really listen to him. He's showing us what's unique about Jesus as the Son, what's amazing about Jesus as the Son, why Jesus being the Son of God means that you should listen to Jesus above everyone and anyone else. And that's what the rest of the first chapter is about. And what we're going to do, we're only going to look at the first three verses, and we're going to see in these verses four important reasons why you should listen to the Son. Okay? Four reasons why you should listen to the Son. Let's have a look at the first one. In verse 2, we're told, in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Why should you listen to Jesus? Because he is the heir and creator of everything. Okay, to be an what does that mean? To be an heir means that you inherit something, right? It means that one day something is going to come into your possession. Jesus is described as the heir of everything. In other words, everything one day is going to come into Jesus' possession. And what's that talking about? Well, that's talking about when Jesus returns, when this world is wrapped up, when Judgment Day comes and he ushers in a new creation. In that world to come, everything is going to belong to Jesus. He owns all of it. And we understand why everything will belong to him. It's because everything belonged to him in the first place. He's the creator as well. Everything was made through him. And if you make it, you own it. And so everything in creation now belongs to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the creator God. He's the creator of the universe. And so the point is that everything belongs to Jesus. Now, why does that mean we should listen to him? If everything belongs to Jesus, then everyone belongs to Jesus. And that means that his message is for everyone. I think one of the dangers that we can fall into is that we can sometimes think that Jesus and his message is just my thing. It doesn't really have much to do with other people out there. It's easy for us to believe what other people tell us when they say, well, look, Jesus, you've got Jesus, and that's good for you, but Jesus just isn't for me. You know, as if Jesus was a hobby. You know, she does yoga, he plays footy, I go to church. And it's so easy for us to start thinking that Jesus is just my thing. Yeah, here at this conference at SweatCon, there's a lot of people here. It's easy for us to feel like, yeah, Jesus' message is for everyone. But when you go back to work, or you go to TAFE, or you go to uni, and you're the only Christian there, it's so easy for us to feel like, actually, Jesus and his message, that's just my thing. And it doesn't really have anything to do with anyone else. Now, here in the Southwest, I think we feel it even more. We're surrounded by so many cultures that believe so many different things. And for a lot of us, our churches aren't very big either. They seem fairly insignificant. And it's so easy for us to just retreat into our bubble and think that the gospel, Jesus, that's just for us, but it actually has nothing to do with people out there. But friends, Jesus is the heir and the creator of everything. Everyone belongs to Jesus, and therefore his message is for everyone. His message is for your friends at TAFE. His message is for your mates at work. His message is for your Iranian hairdresser. His message is for that lady at the Vietnamese store who makes that beautiful roll for you. His message is for everyone. Because he's the heir and creator. And therefore, everyone needs to listen to him. That's the first thing that we see, that Jesus is the heir and creator. Let's have a look at the second reason we should listen to him. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. What does that mean? For Jesus to be the radiance of God's glory means when you see the glory of Jesus, you are seeing the glory of God himself. Just like the rays of the sun, when they touch your face and you feel their warmth, that's the warmth from the sun itself. Or when you see its light, that's the light from the sun itself. It's from the same thing. And we're told that when we see the glory of Jesus, we are actually seeing the glory of God himself. This is what John tells us in John chapter 1. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who is from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when you see the grace of Jesus, when you see his love for us, when you see his kindness to us, all the wonderful things that he's done, that is the grace of the Father. And when you hear his truth, the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel that's proclaimed to us, that's not just his message, that is the message of the Father. Now, why is that the case? Well, because we're told that he is the exact representation of God's being. Now, the word being means your nature, your essence, what makes you, you. And so what this passage is saying is, what makes God, God, is true for Jesus as well. Or to put it simply, Jesus is fully God. God exists as Father, Son, and Spirit, and Jesus is no less God than the Father. He is fully God. He doesn't just act like God. He doesn't just give us God's words. He doesn't just inspire us to follow God. No, he is God who has come to us. And do you see what that means we should listen to him? God hasn't just sent a messenger to give his word. He has now come into the world and he speaks directly to us and gives us God's message. Michael Reeves is an English theologian and writer, and he's written an excellent book on the Trinity. And he points out that one of the mistakes that we can often make as a Christian is that we know Jesus and we see him and we love him. Everything about him, what he's done, what he says, it's wonderful. But then over time as a Christian, what happens is you start to imagine that there's some other God behind him. You know, a different God, a more distant, harsh God. And a God with a different message, a message that says, well, you really need to pick up your act or I'm not going to let you into heaven. I don't really like you. I'm not really for you. And we imagine this other sort of God behind the Jesus that we know. But friends, what this passage is saying is that if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. They are one. And the Father is exactly the same as the Son. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that to worship any God that is not exactly like Jesus is idolatry. And friends, that gives us huge confidence to listen to the Son. Because when we listen to him, we know that we are hearing the very words of God. Do me a favor for a second. Just picture Jesus. Picture his grace. You know, he ate with tax collectors. He had compassion on the leper. He went to the cross to die for you. Friends, that's what the Father is like. And here is comforting words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Friends, that's the Father speaking to you through the Son. We should listen to the Son because he brings us the very words of the Father. Oh, well, that's the second reason. Let's have a look at the third. A bit way through verse 3, we're told that Jesus the Son also sustains all things by his powerful word. The picture that we often get when we read this is the picture that sometimes you see on Facebook or Google Images. You know, one of those masculine hands holding a globe that looks like a crystal ball and kind of looks like if he drops it, it's going to fall on the ground and smash. You know that picture? Just me? Okay. That's what most of us think is what's going on in this passage. He's sustaining all things. But actually, it's more of a picture of Jesus picking up the universe and tucking it under his arm like a footy. And he's carrying it all the way along to his goal for history. See, Jesus has given us these incredible promises, these amazing promises. He said that I'm going to forgive you for your sins. I'm going to wash away your sins. He says that I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to welcome you into the family of God. I'm going to bring you into a new creation. And then what he does is, after making these promises, he picks up the universe and he carries it to those goals. He makes happen what he says is going to happen. He's carrying all things along. And we're told he does it by his powerful word. And we know that when Jesus speaks, it happens, right? He says to the wind and the waves, be still, and they're still. He says to the leper, be clean, and he's clean. He says to the dead, get up and walk. Oh, sorry, he says to the dead, get up and live, and they live. Jesus promises us wonderful promises in his gospel. And we're told he will make them happen. He will carry all things along to completion. I don't know about you, but here in the Southwest, I feel like there are so many roadblocks to the gospel going forward. Does anyone else feel that? Yeah, and you look at these roadblocks and you just think, can Jesus' promises really come true? You know, will Jesus really be king when so many people around us aren't Christians? Can we really reach out to this community when so many people don't even speak English? Let alone come from our religious background. Can my little church at Condell Park that we're starting next year of 23 adults, and that's it, can we really do anything in reaching out to our community? And we look at these roadblocks and we just think, how is Jesus' promises going to come true? But we forget who's carrying the ball. Because Jesus has picked up the universe, tucked it under his arm, and he is charging to the try line. And nothing is going to get in his way. He will make happen what he has promised. And so we should listen to him. Because what he says will happen will come true. One more thing. Halfway through verse 3, we're told, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, there is so much that we could unpack just from those words. And really, the rest of Hebrews is just about those words. But we won't look at everything. I just want to tease out one idea here. And that is that after Jesus died on the cross for our sins, God raised him from the dead, and he raised him into heaven, and he seated him at the right hand, at the Father's right hand, of who the writer of the Hebrews calls the majesty. That is, the one who rules over everything, the one who has all power and authority, Jesus is now sitting at his right hand. And what that means is that Jesus has been given all authority and power from the Father, so that Jesus now rules the universe. And the moment that Jesus was enthroned in heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father was the moment that God declared definitively, "This is my Son. Listen to him." See, God had said it several times already. He said it at the baptism, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He said it at the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my Son whom I love, listen to him." He said it at the resurrection, when Paul in Romans says that the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection, God was declaring Jesus to be the Son of God. But it was at his ascension, when he went into heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father, that was the moment when God definitively declared, "This is my son. He is the king. Listen to him. Worship him." I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this question, but who is qualified to tell you who to listen to about God? You know, how do we work it out? How do we work out who's right? How do we work out who we should listen to? Is it the guy speaking? He just reassures us. No, really, I'm speaking God's words. What if he's wrong? Maybe it's a group of friends who are listening to this guy, and they say, "No, really, you should listen to him. He speaks God's words." What if they're wrong? What if they're lying to me? Do we just go with who the biggest religion is? You know, oh, there's a lot of Christians in the world. That many people can't be wrong. Of course they can. And, you know, that doesn't solve anything. There's a lot of Muslims in the world. There's a lot of Buddhist people in the world. How do you know who to go with? How do you know who to listen to? When you think about it, the only person qualified to tell us who to listen to about God is God. He's the only one who can tell us who to listen to. And what we're told is that when Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father, that was God saying, "This is my Son, so listen to him." When you think about Jesus' death on the cross, at that moment, the world was giving a resounding and defiant no to Jesus and his message. At the cross, the world all banded together to say, "No, you are not the Son of God. No, we will not listen to your message." But when God raised Jesus from the dead and ascended him into heaven and sat him at his right hand, God was defiantly saying, "Yes, he is my Son. He is the King. Listen to him." And that's so helpful. Because all around us in the world, there are voices shouting at us saying, "No, he's not the king. He's not the Christ. He's not the Son of God. Don't listen to him." But we need to listen to what God says when he raises him from the dead and sits him at his right hand. Because there God says, "Yes, he is my Son. Listen to him." Well, friends, what should we take away from all of this? God has spoken through his Son, and therefore if we want to know God, we need to listen to him. There's two questions I want to ask you as we finish. The first question is, who are you listening to? Now, the culture that this church, that the letter was written to, lived in, was a predominantly Jewish culture. These people came from a Jewish background. They were from the Jewish religion. And they were being pressured to stop listening to Jesus and his message and to just go back to Judaism. They had no room for Jesus and his message. Plenty of room for God, plenty of room for religion, plenty of room for ritual, just no room for Jesus or his message. Sound familiar? That's the Southwest, right? And all around us in our culture, we can feel this pressure to stop listening to Jesus. For you, maybe it's just the constant bombardment from TV and radio telling us again and again, Christianity's a joke. Jesus, he was just a man, if he existed at all. The Christian message is hateful. Christians are dinosaurs and bigots. And if you hear that message again and again and again and again, eventually you're going to start listening to it. And at that point, you need to remember that God has spoken through his Son. And we need to listen not to those voices, but to the Son when it comes to God. For some of us here, you might come from a culture that's not individualistic. And what that means is what you believe is not an individual decision. It's a decision made by the culture, right? And when you put your trust in Jesus and start listening to his message, if that's different from your culture or from your family, it can be really hard. There can be huge pressure on you to stop listening to Jesus. And for them, they see this as you saying, "I don't want to be part of your culture anymore," or "I don't want to be part of your family anymore." Huge pressure. But at that point, we need to remember that God has spoken through his Son, and we need to listen to him. It might be that your family wants you to be part of a different religion. It might be that your family wants you to believe something different about the gospel that's not true. Maybe that you're saved by works and not by grace. Or it might even just be that your family wants you to value education and making money as the highest priority in your life. and Jesus comes second. And at every point, you need to say, no, I need to listen to Jesus first. Doesn't mean you reject your family. Doesn't mean you hate your family. In fact, listening to the message of Jesus will make you love your family more. But it does mean that you always listen to Jesus first. And the last question I want to ask is, who are you talking about? Because if we understand this passage properly, it will transform our evangelism. See, God has spoken through his Son, and what that means is that I don't speak. It's Jesus who's speaking. The pressure is taken off me. See, so often the reason that we don't share the gospel is because we think, I need to be really impressive, right? And I'm not. I think, oh, who am I? You know, sinful, doubtful, dumb, little old me. I can't share the gospel. I can't convince anyone to become a Christian. I don't have any brilliant ideas or clever arguments. But when we remember that actually God has spoken through his Son, we see it's not my job. It's Jesus's. I don't want people to listen to me. I want people to listen to him. And so all I need to do is say, listen to him. He's the Son of God. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of his nature, the heir and creator of all things. He sustains things by his powerful word. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Listen to him. And that's what evangelism is. A resource that I'm really excited to use this year is The Word One-to-One. There's nothing special about it. It's not magic. It's not a silver bullet for evangelism. But I like what it gets you to do, and that is it gets you to just sit down with another person, open up John's gospel, and start sharing who Jesus is. It takes all the pressure off me. It's just me and this other person looking together at the Bible. And that, friends, that's all we need to do. We just need to show people Jesus and let them see him. And as they see him clearly, they will listen to him and they will trust in him. We're not asking them to do anything that we haven't done. We need to see who Jesus is clearly, the Son of God. And then we need to listen to him and trust in him. Let's pray that we can do that. Loving Father, we thank you that you speak and that you have spoken through your Son. Father, we pray that this week you would open our eyes to see who Jesus is as the Son of God, and that as we fix our eyes on him, we would listen to him and put our trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen.